Greetings. Good morning. For many of you, this will be Sunday morning. And I'm honored that you've chosen to listen in and spend some time with me here this morning. It's obvious we're in a new season, both in our culture and even at LifeSpring. This is our first video broadcast that we're attempting and looking forward to that. And who knows, maybe next week we'll be live streaming the sermon, so stay in touch with that. My heart's desire is for us to be together. We can't do that right now, but know that that is my desire, the desire of the elder team, and the desire of the staff. We talk about that frequently during the week. Look forward to when we can get back together. I think I'm going to share a couple stories because I relate to my world around me through stories. And I want to pray first, so bow your head with me, and let's pray. Father, we pause this morning and thank you. Thank you for this opportunity where we can be together in this creative way. Thank you that we can share some time together, and even though this isn't as good as being physically present, the ability to still have some part of normalcy, or maybe our new normal. We're grateful for that. And Father, I just ask your blessing on each and every one who is a part of LifeSpring. As they walk through these uncertain times, as they go through their days, that this would be a place, that they would live in a place of peace, a spiritual peace that comes from you. And so we ask that for this body. Thank you that we can gather here. Thank you for the many ways you have blessed us. In your name we pray. Amen. Just a quick word about the book Reset. As a church, we've been going through this book over the last couple weeks. We still have more books in the office. If you didn't get one, please stop by the office and get one. This is a worthwhile thing to do, and we're eager to see the impact it has on lives. For Pat and I, finding quiet space in our home is a bit difficult. At the end of the day, we are exhausted, so not much can happen then. We get up early in the morning, and it seems like the earlier we get up, the earlier one of the kids gets up. Some days my 20 minutes with the Lord is only a few minutes long before I have a little one in my lap. And yet, God meets me there. Right now I'm stuck on page 52 in the book. Listening. The chapter is on listening, and it's listening for God's word, God speaking to us. And the paragraph I've underlined and highlighted and noted is, things don't change when I talk, but when I listen, when God speaks, universes come into existence. And I have just dwelt there. That has been so cool for me. This morning, Saturday morning, I got to spend my quiet time at work. And I loved it because there was no one there. And I got to turn on the worship. I got to just be me. I took time to just be with the Father. And even though I was doing sermon prep, I had an idea what God had laid on my heart. But a big part of the morning was just being with God. It was fantastic. I walked through the factory. There's nobody there. The lights are out. And it meant so much to me to just walk through and bless the team that makes our products possible. I'd walk by a machine and I'd pray a blessing over that team, walk by another machine or another work area and pray a blessing. I circled the entire factory just listening and praying. And what a precious time, just letting my thoughts settle on God. One evening this week, I got the privilege of tucking Maya into bed. Yes, privilege. You see, she has asked me to read the Bible to her cover to cover. So we are in Genesis, and I read a chapter while she lays on the bed. I'm on my knees by the bed. I'll get done with the chapter and then we'll talk a little bit about it. And I try to bring the scripture that we've read down to the understanding of a seven-year-old. I'll be honest, I did skip some verses on Adam and Eve. because I didn't want to have that conversation about what they wore. Parents of young children will understand. Then we turn the lights off. I pray over Maya. I pray things about her future and what God is going to do with her and her gifts. I pray blessings. Then I ask if she wants to pray. Now I need to tell you, Maya has a tenacity that rivals no other. She is bold, and in a lot of ways it creates an intensity in our home, a significant intensity. Someday she will impact the kingdom of God with this gift, but for now it's all we can do to keep her focused. There are a lot of teachable moments with Maya. And there's often times Pat and I are wondering, are we doing any good? Is this accomplishing anything? With this at the forefront of my mind, she starts to pray. She starts like this, God, there are so many things I'm grateful for. But most of all, God, I'm grateful that Jesus lived and died and rose again, and what that means for me. And then she begins to talk about all the things she's grateful for, and she goes on for 5 to 7 minutes. Now she has her head turned away from me, kneeling by the bed, and it's sort of speaking towards her pillow. So I missed everything else, except I heard frequently the word thankful or grateful. I caught so many words of gratitude. I was just amazed. You see, this was a holy moment for Maya and for me. God gave me a window, a peek, an influx of hope that this young girl is getting it. I went to bed blessed. I was tickled. I'm thinking, man, I've got this thing figured out. I woke up the next morning and something had happened overnight. The same girl who spent 5 minutes with a heart of gratitude not only woke up on the wrong side of bed, but she woke up on the wrong side of the house. It was an exact opposite experience to the night before, where the morning was not a good morning. And finally, Pat looked at me and said, you take Josiah, go take him to daycare and to work. I'll come when I can get Maya settled down. You know, I said, God, what happened overnight? And God said to me, sometimes girls wake up like this. I've raised boys, not girls. We never had this happen. So I tell stories because this is how I experience and understand God. Do I have a heart of gratitude? Do I walk around living a heart of gratitude? I was weeping this morning as God stirred in my heart. What are you thankful for, Kevin? What are you thankful for? This week at work, on one afternoon, we had a larger group meeting in the conference room upstairs as that team worked on several important conversations and planning. At one point in the meeting, the door to the conference room opened and someone started coming up the steps. Now, where we're seating, we can't see who's coming up. We all wondered who was coming up because our mission associates are normally hesitant to come into that room and ask for permission. As this person reaches the top, I see it's Sid coming to visit me. And with no hesitation, no concern, as he walked into the presence of this room, knowing that his dad was there. Even when he realized the large group was there, he wasn't apologetic. I simply told him we'd be done in 10 minutes. Could he wait in the main office? And as I reflected on that, I saw several spiritual principles. First, Sid came boldly into the room of his father, where he knew his dad was. We have that opportunity too. Hebrews 4:19, come boldly into the throne of God. You see, when we understand how our Father in heaven feels about us, how he cares about us, how we are his children, then we have that freedom to boldly come into His presence. We don't have to make an appointment. We don't have to schedule it and wonder if we'll be accepted. We know that. Sid was confident that he could come into that room where his dad was, where his father was. He knew I loved him beyond understanding, and while I don't approve of everything he does, he is still my child, my son, my firstborn. Do you see and understand? This is how God looks at us. He looks at us and says, I love you, not because of what you do. I love you because you're mine. Some of us think, oh, I am so bad. I'm a horrible person. I've done so much bad stuff in the past. There's no way I can come before God. Or when I get my life straightened out, then I'm gonna reconnect with God. You see, you can't do it that way. First of all, you can't straighten your life out without God. Second, the Romans 5:8, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, He didn't wait for us to get our lives together. He died for us while we were yet sinners. We don't need to clean ourselves up for Christ to accept us. That's good news. He accepts us, and then with His help and the help of the body, we slowly mature, we get cleaned up, and we learn to understand our role as children of God. Now, this is hard work. It's not easy. It's not easy walking away from our past. But He is faithful and just to do that. So my word to you is we can come boldly, without hesitation and without reservation, to the throne of God. In this season of our life, as a body, as a community, and as a nation, our ability to gather together is restricted. What has been normal for years is now different. My initial response to closing our services and gatherings was covered in my stubbornness. It was a little bit like, come on. But as each day went by, I realized the need to protect the vulnerable among us. And so for this reason and for this season, we are complying with the requests of authorities. There's no way I'd want to be responsible for bringing any illness onto the vulnerable among us. Why, just the other day, Tom Kirk was telling me about the 1918 Spanish flu and how scary that was for him to go through. So that's why we're not together today, but we hope to be together soon. We do. This is a season of our lives driven by fear and panic. The stock market has reacted to fear and has panicked. Everything you hear is bad news after bad news. And while I support the government leaders' decisions to isolate larger groups of gatherings and keep people healthy, I am not driven by fear. My relationship with God means I know the last page of the book. We win. Or as Paul says in Philippians 1:22, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He goes on to say he wants to be with Christ, but he thinks he'll hang around because you guys need me yet. So in this season, I want to speak words of comfort and confidence. Don't twist my words to say what I'm not intending. Hear my heart. Pat and I would love nothing more than to hang out with each and every one of you. That's the sentiment I hear all across this body, through emails, through conversations. We eagerly anticipate that time when we can be together again. I'm already dreaming of the first Sunday that we gather together and we celebrate our togetherness. What a joy that will be. I'm looking forward to that. Okay, enough of that. Here's my encouragement for the body in this season. These are in no particular order, just random thoughts. My life is defined by random thoughts. Number one, don't isolate yourself from the body. While we can't be together physically, we can be together in spirit. We're trying to communicate to all of you through the LifeSpring Facebook page, the website, texting, calling, It's a few other ways, just trying to connect, trying to be together. For some of you, Facebook is new. It is to me. I'm having to get lessons on how to use it. There is a Facebook page that we have as a body, a LifeSpring Church page, that is putting up little motivational meditations each day. And these are good. Man, take a chance to check them out. If you don't have a Facebook page, I think Sandy or Judy might be able to help you, because I think you can get to the site without having to be a member of Facebook. Don't quote me on that, but somebody told me that. We're working to connect in other ways. We're working to make phone calls to all of you. But we do want you to focus in for major announcements on the website, LifespringGoshen.org, and also the Facebook page. Those would be good places to check in. The Apostle Paul was often prevented from meeting with churches and believers in person, but this didn't stop him from writing to them. In fact, a lot of our New Testament is letters that Paul wrote. So that's another way to connect. We have today far more communication resources than Paul did, but yet we have the same spiritual resources as Paul. Let's use them. Let's not feed into the panic. And that's the word I want to share. I'm going to just share another story. Let's look at the issue of toilet paper. I thought you probably would never expect to hear that on a Sunday morning. In the recent weeks, our toilet paper manufacturers have increased production 20% over normal. Yet, when you go to the store, you can't find toilet paper. Why is this? Have Americans all of a sudden increased their use of this commodity? The virus, as I understand it, doesn't impact the use of toilet paper. So fear and panic push us to buy this way beyond our need. I saw one report that said some people bought enough TP that they could go to the bathroom 182 times per day. There's a website now that you can go to that tells you how many rolls of TP your church, your family needs in a week, based on how many people are in the family and the age. And it's nowhere near the level that people are purchasing. And this leads me to my next point. Be a peaceful presence. If you find listening to today's news makes you fearful, maybe there's a less fearful way to find the information you need. For me, I've chosen not to watch national news. It's driven by fear. We are children of God, and God's word says we can have peace. A peace that passes understanding. So find a way to dwell there. John 14:27, Jesus says, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." In times of turmoil, Jesus tells us to have no fear. Not to have the peace the world offers, but the peace that only Christ offers. My third point, find a way to take a long view. Don't solely focus on the next 2 or 4, 8 or 12 weeks. Take a longer view. What is God doing in the world? Can this pandemic be a way for revival to come to our land? Can I pray for this? I know there are prayer groups showing up in many areas with this as their theme. When we think outside of our own world, we often gain perspective. And here I think about pray without ceasing. Can I share some good news with you? For our team at Mission, the last 2 weeks have been our best 2 output weeks in the history of the company. I'll bet you didn't think that would be what I was sharing. Based on the news you're hearing, you have heard doom and gloom. And I just want you to hear there's another side. Now, our output will likely change in the next several weeks. I get that. It will change as more people buy into the fear and panic. And we're preparing for that. But I just wanted you to have an understanding that what you see on the TV in the news coverage isn't always a complete picture. And I get it, bad news drives ratings. That's what it's about. But I want to share some more good news for you, because I want to bring a posture of hope this morning. I have personally inspected and researched each one of these tidbits and checked with a number of reliable websites, and I believe that they are true. Number one, China has closed down its last coronavirus hospital. They don't have enough new cases. Number two, doctors in India have come up with some successful treatments for coronavirus using globally available drugs. I think one of them might be an anti-malaria pill. Researchers, this is number three, researchers of the famous Erasmus Medical Center think they found the antibody against coronavirus. This one isn't such good news for me, but some people will enjoy it. Number four, Apple has reopened all 42 of its Chinese stores. Five, Cleveland Clinic can now give coronavirus test results in just a couple hours instead of days. Good news from South Korea, new cases are declining. Seven, scientists in Israel announce the development of a coronavirus vaccine. The Jerusalem Post says in just a few weeks, they think they'll have the vaccine, and then maybe another 90 days until they can get it market ready. Another one is plasma from people who have already recovered from coronavirus can be used to help other people in their recovery. You know, part of the fear that we feel about the coronavirus exists because it forces us to come to grips with some of the uncomfortable truths. Life is fragile and fleeting. And while we do everything we can to ensure our health and our longevity, we still don't have ultimate control. Our bodies are not built to last. We get sick and we die. But for Christ followers, this isn't the end of the story. We have the hope of redemption, hope of healing, hope of newness in life that lasts forever. Jesus died and rose again that we might have life abundant. And nothing, not even the coronavirus, can separate us from the love of God, which is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord, Romans 8. So we pray for those affected by the virus. We pray for wisdom on how to keep safe. And we pray for peace of mind for all people. When a crisis hits, we have a tendency to spring into action to address it, and that's okay. But first, before we jump up, let's spend some time praying for perspective and focus. Sometimes this is the most important thing we should be doing. As I circled the factory at Mission Woodworking today, and I did it a couple times, I saw some other spiritual messages. It's amazing that I've been in that factory for many years and didn't see some of this stuff till today. So in our factory, two of the buildings have remote sensing lights so that as you walk into that part of the factory, one bay of lights will turn on. And then if nobody moves for a while, they'll turn back off. What struck me as I walked is that God is giving us all just enough light to see our next steps. I can't see the entire factory or future, but God is showing me the next steps. As I take those steps, then another bay of lights turns on, and I can see a little further. I thought that was a cool picture. It was for me. So I want to leave you with a song that's been a huge blessing to me just in the last 24 hours. I initially thought I'd sing it for you, but Rob says I cannot. He's turned off the camera. So I'm not sure if we can get it on the website. We're going to try. But you can also Google the song Blessing by Cody Carnes and Carrie Jobe, K-A-R-I-J-O-B-E. Their husband-wife worship team. It's a song of blessing, and it comes out of number 6, 24 through 26. I'm going to read that to you here. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. And then the song goes on to a number of other verses scattered throughout the Old Testament and some new. May his favor be upon you and 1,000 generations, and your family, and your children, and their children and their children. And this is a song, it's got some other verses, I won't read them all, but it just dwells there. It's a soaking song. It's a place where it touches your soul. We played it at home last night, and the kids just all of a sudden tune in. And so I leave you with that. It's a blessing. I'm going to pray a blessing over the body now, and then we'll close. So again, I'm going to pray. Bow your heads with me. And Lord, I just lift up this body of believers at LifeSpring and their passion for you. And Lord, I just speak this blessing over them. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Peace, Lord, is our prayer. In your name we pray. Amen. See you next week. We may try a live stream next Sunday morning. We'll keep you posted. Goodbye.